What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Joining us for a look at movies this week is film critic Giles Hardy. Giles, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you very much. Look, it's always a good time to be talking about the screen, as we like to watch it in the dark.
We've got four offerings. The Patient, a Disney Plus movie. Dharma on Netflix. We've got This England, which is on Fox. And Reboot, a comedy, again, from Disney Plus. Let's talk about The Patient. What's this? This is a psychological thriller series.
It is. So I think people are going to be concerned that I'm obsessed with serial killers once we've got halfway through this evening. But it is only because there are two really different offerings on our on two of the streaming platforms. So as you say, The Patient's on Disney Plus, and this is a series that is really surprising in that it's a very simple concept, but it works so incredibly well. So the simple concept is the idea that a serial killer kidnaps a psychotherapist and holds him hostage because he wants him to fix him and stop him being homicidal. And that means that what we basically get is a play, because we, for 95% of the series so far, are in one room with a two-hander happening. Mm-hmm. And that's Steve Carell as the psychotherapist and Domhnall Gleeson as the serial killer. And none of this is spoiler territory. All of this is in the first 15 minutes of the first episode. This is just the setup. And then it just slowly evolves their relationship. And that's where we start The Patient.
Mm. Okay, how many parts is it?
So far, it's up to six.
Okay.
I haven't seen the final number. I'm looking forward to finding out. But I think 10 is the number I've heard. But we will wait and see on that. But the impressive thing is the episodes are basically half an hour each. And between that and the way it's written and the brilliant performances of the two mean that it's incredibly consumable, because one episode's coming out each week, and it's just that sense of, it's almost like a sitcom, except for the fact that obviously it is not funny, but it is a situation and they're just there and they go through the aspects of where the relationship and the story have got to this week, and you don't get drawn, you don't get into the awfulness. You can tell Steve Carell is, his character Alan is having a terrible time of it, but it's not self-indulgent in that sense. It's really clever in the way that you want to know what's going to happen next. Mm.
Okay, this is a scene from it. It's called The Patient.
Is this how therapy works?
I don't know, Sam.
Did you like being married?
Yeah, I did.
What were the good parts?
When she went with me twice to Kenny Chesney concerts.
How was that?
That's not a question that you ever need to ask, ever, because they are always awesome.
And she liked it too?
I wouldn't say she was a full member of No Shoes Nation.
Okay, all right. The Patient on Disney Plus. Now, there's a series on the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer on Netflix.
Yes. Now, this is
called,
quite...
It's called Dharma, yes.
It is, or it's quite the other side of it. The full name is Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer Story, but yes, it is very much just been promoted as Dharma. Hmm. And for those who are blessed not to know the Jeffrey Dahmer story, he was a man who was arrested in the 80s, having been a serial killer and a particularly gruesome serial killer.
Why do we need to make this again? Well, what's going on here? Is it just pornographic look at this thing again, or what?
The short answer is absolutely no reason whatsoever, in my opinion. Other than I do need to call out the performance by Evan Peters, who plays Jeffrey Dahmer, and people would know from the X-Men films, and he's a very different performance here. But other than that, this is really gruesome. Because what we get is episode upon episode, another 10 episode here, of what feels like real-time serial killing.
Mm. This is a dramatization, is it? It's not a documentary.
It is very much a docudrama, right. I suppose is how they would describe it. And so
they're reenacting it, in other words.
And it, as I say, without blinking, this starts with the incident that led to him being arrested, and that's the nearly the full first episode. And each of these episodes is coming on for an hour, and then he's arrested. But each episode goes back and investigates one of his other crimes. And I mean, they were horrific. We're talking about cannibalism. We're talking about this, the worst of the worst. I realize it's a pretty grim spectrum to be talking in, but this is really tough going. I mean, you know, Evan Peters is great. You've got Richard Jenkins and surprisingly Molly Ringwald there as his parents in the flashback sequences. But frankly, I can't recommend this to anyone but the most serial killer obsessed.
You wonder. That's right. I mean, like, I think there's a real question of why people would make things like this. I mean, I think I know the answer, and that's disturbing.
Well, I think there's certainly a disturbing answer. I think from a creative space, I think sometimes the audience is not necessarily the intention here. I think I can see why any actor would want to play someone like this, because obviously there's such rich source material from an acting perspective. But yeah, look, creatively, I'm sure they loved the idea of trying to get into the mind of such a strange and uniquely awful individual. But I just can't help but feel that at no point did anyone think, who is the audience for this and what do they want to see? And the fact that this has been trending as the number one show on Netflix for a week now just disturbs me.
Well, I think we know why. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Netflix have been a few wobbly projects recently, I must say. What about This England, this six-part documentary series on the first wave of COVID in the United Kingdom?
Well, again, we're into docudrama territory, and this is a horror of an entirely different nature. This is Kenneth Branagh playing Boris Johnson. So what we have is a series conceived by Michael Winterbottom and some other very creative individuals, and it is looking at what was, for us, from the perspective of Australia, the first months of COVID, but from Britain's point of view, was also the final weeks in the lead up to Brexit, and was also a time of floods. So there was a genuine perfect storm, both literally and figuratively, in the timing of the COVID breakout in England, because Boris Johnson swept into power at the end of 2019. He did so on the Get Brexit Done campaign, and Brexit literally kicked in as the world started looking towards Wuhan. And so what they've created is what they call a fiction based upon facts. It's the very first words that come up. And it is a dramatization of, you know, all the stuff that we know and speculate, shall we say, as to what happened in 10 Downing Street in those fateful months. And it is quite amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Who does Kenneth Branagh play?
He plays Boris Johnson.
Oh, okay.
And
right.
It's one of those odd pieces of casting until you think about the fact that Boris Johnson is so classically educated. He's a man who is so proud of speaking ancient Greek, and he was commissioned to write a book on Shakespeare. And so, of course, the world's arguably most famous Shakespearean actor ends up doing this excellent performance as Boris Johnson. But really impressive is a lesser-known actor called Simon Paisley-Day, who plays Dominic Cummings, who, you know, was the power behind the throne. He was the evil genius or brilliant genius, depending on your perspective, that got the Brexit referendum across, and then was the man who was pushing Number 10 to essentially, in the early days, ignore everything, because you really do get this portrait of him being the maniacal, in fact, just egomaniac, who was trying to push everything and run everything out of, you know, from the shadows behind the Prime Minister, as the world, well, I'm sure from his perspective, conspired to undo him with a pandemic and natural disasters and, you know, everything else that was being thrown at them.
Yeah, okay, all right. This is a little from the teaser.
We need some good news to announce.
I'm concerned about the lack of transparency. This could just look like jobs for the boys.
What do you think, Dom?
Our focus groups show that people will accept a lockdown if we support them financially.
I agree. Obviously, the impact on the economy would be huge. Why haven't we met the target?
Don't blame me, Dom.
Okay, okay, calm down, boys.
I think you need to see this.
What the hell is going on? We look like a bunch of amateurs.
Another one of Dom's bright ideas. We have to rein him in.
They're moving the PM to intensive care. This blessed plot. This earth. This realm. This England.
Yes, a Shakespearean line, of course, which Kenneth Branagh has uttered in another context, of course.
Oh, Henry, exactly. And Henry the number of times this takes advantage of Branagh because of the nature of Boris to be... he is someone who drops classical references into everyday conversation almost relentlessly. And as such, Kenneth Branagh ends up being so brilliant at this. I should also shout out Ophelia Loverbond, who plays Carrie Symons, his now wife, and mother of his most recent child, who is, you know, a lot of this story is that tension between he and her, or the situation with he and her, while Dominic Cummings is trying to run the country. Mm. And so far, so good. It's only one episode up on Foxtel and on Binge. But yeah, if you enjoy a bit of the crisis and the insanity that is real life drama, yeah, this is actually done remarkably well. I worried when I first saw this coming that it was ghoulishly close to the end of Boris Johnson's reign as Prime Minister, and that in fact it was too soon. But it's actually quite clever because it's focusing on those first months, and I think they've just been blessed with the additional publicity that will make people interested in this, given that it's also the chapter has recently ended.
Okay, and finally, well, we need some light relief after all that lot, don't we? Reboot is an American comedy series created by Stephen Levitan.
This is on Disney Plus as well. It's a Hulu series from the States, and it's a really clever concept. It is essentially a show taking the Mickey out of the current streaming network obsession with rebooting shows from the 80s, 90s, and noughts. And it's impressive that Disney, in making this, have really allowed them to take quite a few shots at themselves. You know, many a streaming show gets called out here. And in fact, each episode is named after a sitcom rather cleverly. But what you have is the premise is that in the early noughts, there was a sitcom that was very generic and featured, of course, a young a child actor. Now, 20-odd years later, or nearly that, the ingenue director calls out the fact that she wants to reboot this series and make it much more gritty and real. But it turns out that her father was the original writer. And so what we get is some failed actors coming back to the set, and they are played by some really talented real-world actors like Keegan-Michael Kay, Johnny Knoxville, who people might know from the Jackass films, and Judy Greer. So a real selection there. But then behind the scenes, you have these two generations of writers. One, the Paul Reiser-led writer's room, which is just the very much that traditional cliche of the Hollywood writer's room, followed by the younger generation of woke writers and the clashes there. And this thing has no sacred cows. It happily takes the mickey out of every possible issue that Hollywood has at the moment. And it just is laugh out loud funny at the same time.
Okay, here's a bit from it. Reboot.
Well, we're definitely on the lookout for breakthrough shows. So what do you got?
I want to reboot the old sitcom Step Right Up.
Step Right Up. Step Right. Are you serious?
And I want to do it with the original cast.
According to Wikipedia, Clay Barber, drug charge and disorderly conduct, Brimery Jensen did a low-budget sci-fi cable show.
Captain, I'll repair them as soon as I nourish my larva.
And Reed Sterling left to pursue a film career.
I'm the ruthless mother standing here with a .38 snub nose.
You know what? I was thinking, what if I infused it with a layer of weariness and vulnerability?
Maybe don't think.
It's just not what they taught us at the Yale School of Drama.
Okay, we're done.
Okay. All right, that's Reboot. So give us some stars here. The Patient on Disney?
The Patient's 5 stars. It is such a brilliantly simple concept, great performances, and so easy to consume given its potentially difficult subject matter.
Okay, the serial killer movie, Dharma. Well, not movie, series. Yeah,
Dharma. Yeah, look, I'll give it 2 stars because Evan Peters is brilliant as the actor, but he would have earned it 4 stars were it not for the fact that I have to take at least 2 off for how slow and ghoulish the whole thing is.
I can imagine. This England, there would
4 stars.
Kenneth Branagh's thing, yeah. 4 stars.
4 stars. Just a fascinating retake on the way that all came together with a good infusion of real world footage I didn't mention before.
Okay. And reboot?
Look, 3.5, 4 stars. I can't give it 5 stars because it doesn't have the substance for it. but that's only because Hollywood would be so upset with me if I did. It is such fun and so easy to watch, though.
All right. Giles, great to talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.